open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Even though it's not quite Christmas yet, this is pretty much the closest Sunday to Christmas, so this would be Christmas Sunday. And we're going to read the story of Jesus' birth. I actually called this the end of the world as we know it, because the world ended on Friday, as everyone knows, and here we are. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. R.E.M., hats off to you. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So that is the story of the birth of Jesus, and how this God who was eternal and had been from before creation. We talk about Jesus from the dawn of creation, but actually, before the dawn of creation, he was God, and he had been God. And it says that there was nothing that was made without him. Everything that was made through Jesus, through his power. And here is this same Jesus, this same God, coming and being born in a manger in a little town in Israel. Now, there was a prophecy about the birth of Christ, of the Messiah that would be born in Bethlehem in Judea. So when Luke is writing this, he's actually quoting from an Old Testament prophet named Micah. There's a book in the Bible called Micah, and you could look it up. Micah 5 verse 2 says this, "But you, O Bethlehem," great word here, "Ephrathah," which sounds like I'm just making something up, but I'm not. "Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." So it had been prophesied that the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ, would be born in Bethlehem. Now, for Jesus to be born wouldn't be that notable. A baby was born in a town. Now, I suppose news would get around, hey, there were some travelers in because we're doing a census, and there were some travelers. There wasn't any room in any of the hotels. No one had room, and so they had to stay in a stable, and the baby was born and laid in a manger. I suppose some people would talk about that. That's kind of talk around town. But for a baby to be born, happens all the time. All the time. Now look this up. You could go to babycenter.com. Babycenter.com says that just in the U.S., there are about 4 million babies born every year. So I did some nerd math. That's an average of 333,000 babies born in the U.S. every month. That's the end of the world as they knew it for about 11,000 families every day in the United States. 11,000 moms are giving birth every day in the U.S. So for Jesus to be born, not that radical, happens all the time. For the Son of God to be born, a little more radical. That only happens once. Once in a lifetime? How about once in all of history? And interestingly, so this year, Christmas is on a Tuesday. And depending on who you look at, with scientists and historians and everybody who looks at, you know, when would Jesus have actually been born? Was he really born on December 25th? A lot of folks would say no, probably not. But some others actually have done some cool research, which we're not going to go into today, but that suggests it was very, very close to December 25th. Interesting. You can pick which stream you want to go on. When he was born doesn't matter, but this year Christmas is on a Tuesday, which happens to be the most popular day of the week for babies to be born. Tuesday is more babies are born on Tuesdays than any other day of the week, followed by Monday, with the lowest days of the week to have a baby being the weekend.
There's too many parties to go to.
Too many things to do on the weekend, apparently. Let's just hold off until Monday. And that's not just because people schedule, you know, like if you have to go in and schedule your birth or do a C-section, it's not just because doctors like to schedule those on Mondays. Natural births are also less frequent on the weekend. Why? No idea. What does that have to do with this today? Nothing. It's just interesting. So, interesting facts today. And if you, just in case you were curious, the most popular month to have a baby is September, followed by August. Cold months leading up about 9 months ahead of that. So you can go to babycenter.com and check out some of that. So it's the end of the world as they knew it for Mary and Joseph. They had a baby. He happened to be the Son of God, although they were going to raise a little baby who's a baby. Does baby stuff. But Jesus' birth demonstrates more than just that they had a baby. His birth was the end of history as we knew it. Jesus' birth demonstrates God's supernatural involvement in history and in historical events. As we open this story up, the very beginning of it said that the Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus, had declared a census. We're going to have a census, and every man needs to go to his hometown where he was born, and the census will be taken for him and his family. God caused a Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus, to call for a census that required a man in Nazareth in Galilee to travel into Judea with his young pregnant wife to Bethlehem, which is where the prophecy said the Messiah would be born. This man, Joseph, happened to be a descendant of the royal family of Israel, a son of David, the shepherd king. And it says, from you, this prophecy, from you, Bethlehem, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who's to be ruler in Israel. And it had been prophesied that, and God had promised David, there will be a king on your throne that will, he will reign forever. and Micah had prophesied, he'll be the ruler in Israel whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. God is sovereign over the lives of men and nations and empires and emperors, presidents. God's sovereign. He moved in the heart of the Roman emperor, the most powerful leader of that era, to ensure that the word he spoke was fulfilled and the Messiah would be born where he said he would be born. God's still doing that today. He's still moving in the hearts and lives of men and women. He's still moving in leaders today. You see world events. Behind those events, God is still shaping. You even see negative things and things that you think, this is terrible. And at the same time, behind it, God is at work doing something good. He's always at work. In fact, next week we're going to talk about when the wise men came. I purposely did not put that in the story for today, even though in tradition, in Christian tradition, everybody has, you see Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the sheep and Jesus in the manger, and the angels are up over top, and then the wise men are all standing there, these three wise men. Only if you actually read the biblical account, Jesus was probably around 2 years old when these guys showed up. So we're leaving them out of the story today. We'll talk about them next week. And I completely lost my train of thought in saying that. I should have left them out completely until next week. So we'll just get back to this. God is sovereign over our lives. History as we knew it changed that day. In fact, a later Roman emperor decided that we would number our calendar and the years of the calendar from the birth of Christ, which is why when you hear something happened in 10,000 BC or something happened, BC stands for before Christ. That's what that means, before Christ. And some other scientists who would like to take Jesus out of the mix will now use BCE and call it before Common Era, but they added that later. We number our years from the birth of Christ. AD. Anybody know what AD stands for?
Latin.
It's Latin. It's Anno Domini. And it stands for the year of our Lord. So this year is 2012 AD. It's the year of our Lord, 2012. Human history has been marked forever through the birth of Jesus. Now, secondly, his birth really demonstrates to us, I couldn't figure out a better way to say this, the end of elitism as we knew it. Jesus' birth demonstrates God's supernatural breakthrough into the lives of everyday people. The shepherds, they're out in the, you know, it says here, these shepherds are out keeping watch over their flock by night. Being a shepherd in that era was not a prestigious job. These weren't the elite. In fact, often it would be the youngest sons who weren't considered to be much who would be assigned the task of going out and watching the sheep. It would be those who didn't have the social status. In fact, if you had status, you hired servants to go take care of the sheep. These were working class folks. They were night shift working class folks. And this is who the angels appear to. They come to bring the good news of the birth of the Savior of the world, and they come at night out in a field somewhere or to some shepherds. The gospel is good news to the poor. God comes to bring good news, not just to those who have it all together and those who are, they're somebody in society. Like, God didn't just come and say, man, Bill Gates, you have done really well for yourself. I'm going to bring the gospel to you because you are somebody. No, he comes and he brings the good news. In fact, Jesus declared it, the gospel being good news to the poor, as well as everyone else. It's not that if you're well off, the good news isn't for you. Jesus isn't for you. Oh no, you don't need Jesus. We all need Jesus. The gospel is an all-inclusive gospel. The angel said to these shepherds, fear not. So obviously they're afraid. Every time we've seen this in this supernatural series, an angel shows up and the people are afraid. He says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I love this. He comes to kind of the least of these. He comes to the least of that society and he says, I'm bringing the good news to you. I'm bringing this great news. This is the most joyful news. This is great, great news. And it's for everybody. And he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Once again, we see when God starts to invade our lives supernaturally, it points us right to Jesus. Jesus is the centerpiece of supernatural activity in the kingdom of God. If an angel shows up to you and is preaching anything other than Jesus, who cares how impressive the angel is? Who cares whatever the thing is able to do? Jesus is the point. If people are rolling around and they can heal the sick and raise the dead and Jesus isn't the point, don't go running after it. These angels sent from God point to Jesus, and they're bringing good news of great joy. I love it, I love it, I love it, because I love joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We are to be this shepherd king born in a manger. Jesus brought a gospel of joy. It says that Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy more than all of his brothers. Jesus was a joyful person. He's a joyful king. If you think about Christian movies, he's either portrayed as a total pansy, or very, very serious and stoic, or they'll really focus in on just before he died, you know, and he's in a lot of emotional turmoil, and he's just. So you've got the wimpy Jesus, you've got the very sober Jesus, you've got the conflicted Jesus, or they'll focus in, and I think somewhere downtown they have the painting on one of the buildings of Jesus riding back in on the white horse, and he just looks really angry. But the Bible actually says Jesus is joyful, and when the angels are bringing the word of his birth, it says, this is good news of great joy for everyone. Cool. I like this. And he's bringing this to the poor. The gospel is good news to the poor. Jesus came as one of you. And he came to save the world. He came as a fairly insignificant. Like, his entry wasn't like amazing. He didn't come in a palace. He came in a rural stable. This is amazing. And it's really, really good news. Now, so this week I received a coupon in the mail. Beck and I both got it in the mail. And it was a Costco coupon book. But attached to the book was this other coupon for two options of really greatly discounted vacation trips, vacation packages. I wrote this down so I can remember. So I got this. One of the trips was to Los Cabos, Mexico, and the other one was to Maui, Hawaii. They both included all transportation to and from the airport. One was 5 nights in an exclusive hotel. One was 4 nights in an exclusive hotel. $200 in credit for food and drinks in the hotel restaurants and whatnot. Free tours that came with the trip. The one in Hawaii had a free luau. The meal was included with that. And all these other things I couldn't even keep up with. I think a rental car was included with it. They didn't care who I was. They didn't care how much money I make. They didn't care about any of that. If I could come up with their discounted fee, this could all be mine. And I'm looking at it going,
and they're ready to get there.
Oh, yeah, all we have to do is get there. We have to be able to get there. And we happened to have the air miles. I was like, we could so do this. We could go do it. Now, the analogy breaks down because we had to pay to get there. But the gospel is like this in that the offer is made to everyone. It doesn't matter what your social class is, what kind of status you have in society, how much money you make every month. It doesn't matter any of those things. We all have access to the same good news of great joy about not just that Jesus was going to be born, but that Jesus was the Messiah. He's the Christ. He is the Lord. He's God. This is the good news. This is God Himself coming to save His people, as it was prophesied. And for us, the price for this all inclusive great news is that the price has already been paid. He paid for it. You don't have to have the air miles to get there. You don't have to pay for everything above and beyond $200 that you spend on food in a resort hotel. I'm thinking, what is that, two meals? I don't know.
What meals are you eating?
I don't know. I've never been in an exclusive resort hotel, so I wouldn't know. Jesus' birth represents this supernatural breakthrough into the lives of ordinary people, the lives of us. This is great. Thirdly, this is the end of the ordinary as we knew it. The gospel supernaturally turns ordinary people into happy bearers of the good news of Jesus, the Messiah. Look at what happens. These angels show up to the shepherds and they hear this great news and they say, let's go to Bethlehem and see what they're talking about. So they go to Bethlehem. They come, they find it just as the angel said. Mary and Joseph are there, and the baby, Jesus, is in the manger. And it says, when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So they make known the saying, they're telling everyone else. And they're glorifying and praising God for what they've seen. Everybody's wondering. Everyone's in wonderment at what the shepherds are telling them. What is going on? This is crazy. Where is it? Verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Like, what? Imagine somebody comes up to you and says, okay, so I'm working the night shift last night. And an angel shows up to me. I'm terrified. And the angel says, don't be afraid, because I'm bringing you good news of great joy that's for everybody. The Savior's been born. This is the Messiah. This is the Lord. And here's how you're going to know what I'm saying is true. You're going to go find this. There's going to be some people. And there's going to be a baby in a manger. It's like where you feed the animals. There's going to be a baby in there. No one puts a baby in there. Guys, don't ever do that. Don't ever, with your wives later when you're older. Your wife isn't going to like it much. If you're like, hey, let's put the baby in the horse trough. Bad idea. Shepherds would know this. You don't put babies where the sheep eat. And the angel says, this is how you're going to know what I'm saying is real. You're going to go, and in the manger, there's going to be a baby. So they go, they see it, they're amazed, as if they already weren't amazed by the angel. And then the whole big crowd of angels it doesn't actually say they were singing. It says they were praising God. So whether they were saying it or whether they were singing it, we actually don't know that for sure. But they are praising God. That's quite a night. That takes the night shift and turns it into something. You're going to tell stories about this. I'm going to tell stories about this. Like, wow, this is cool. I'm telling the story about it. It didn't even happen to me. You know? These poor night watchmen were transformed into men who were glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. This is what the good news does in our hearts too. It turns us from being, think about it, if you're a shepherd in that culture, you could be the little brother who all the other brothers have got, you know, whatever their significance is, and you're kind of the last one in line, and you're the one watching the sheep. You can almost have sort of a leftover. I'm the leftovers. You know, maybe even a bit of a victim mentality. You know, like, I can't really do anything about who I am. I was born last. Yeah, I'm the one, I got to go out and work the night shift. Maybe these weren't even sons in the family. Maybe these were the servants. I got to go out here and watch the sheep all night. This is what I got to do. But it transforms them from just kind of going through the day to day, I'm getting through, I'm doing what I need to do to survive. And it transforms them into these happy bearers of the good news of Jesus. The gospel does the same thing to us. It's not just the end of the ordinary as they knew it. The gospel is the end of the ordinary as we know it. You guys, none of you in this room are ordinary people. You're marked with the kingdom of God. You've been marked as super ordinary. Extraordinary. You've been marked by God. You are a bearer of the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came to save sinners. He came to save people who didn't even deserve being saved. He came to reach out not just to the upper classes. He came to reach out to everybody. The gospel transforms us. It gives us significance. It gives us a place where we belong. This is what it does. So just to kind of recap this, history's been forever altered by the supernatural life of Jesus. His birth, his works, his death, his resurrection, his salvation extended to us. History has been forever altered. Social barriers have been forever broken down by the supernatural life of Jesus. Galatians 3:28 says you're no longer slave or free, Jew or Gentile or Greek. Even it says male and female in terms of social status. In those days, you had the men who were worth something and women who were pretty much owned by men. The gospel breaks all of that down, and the term that's used is, we together are the one new man in Christ. Meaning, we're all one in him. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're socially excellent, whether you're a social outcast, once you come into the kingdom of God, here we are, one, all accepted together. The haves and the have-nots, all finding significance, hope, supernatural life, and salvation through Jesus. Ordinary men and women, boys and girls, are transformed into carriers of the best news in the world, all through Jesus. Here's the good news. God himself has come down to save sinners. He came as one of us. He lived as one of us. He died as the only one of us who ever deserved not to die. And he lives again as the ever-reigning King of glory. Yeah. This is the good news. And he's chosen us. So as we remember today the supernatural birth of Christ, we're also called to embrace his supernatural kingdom and the salvation he offers freely to us today. We want to embrace it. It's the end of the world as we knew it, but it's the beginning of a supernaturally empowered life in Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your supernatural life. God, you were born supernaturally. It couldn't have happened naturally. Jesus, you were born of a virgin. You were born with angels heralding your birth. As we sang about earlier today, it was a supernatural thing. But Jesus, you lived a supernatural life. You died and rose again supernaturally, that we can have this life in you. Jesus, we just thank you for this life. Thank you for this great salvation. And as we sang earlier, we just say, God, you are all these things to us. And we want to live our lives for you. Mm-hmm. We want to be those happy bearers of the good news of great joy for all the people. God, thank you for transforming us into people of significance, people that carry your presence, people that carry this good news. Thank you, even as we come into this Christmas week, we get to carry the good news of Jesus with us. And God, I pray that we are a contagious people this week. You are amazing. I pray everywhere you take us, whether it's family encounters, friends, at work, whatever we're doing this week, just use us well. Use us well, God. We carry your presence. We carry your greatness. We carry you. So thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.